This is Webpack Wednesday, episode 7.
Hello and welcome to Webpack Wednesday. I'm Martin Beebe.
And I'm Martin Cairn.
Today we're going to be looking at machine learning for web developers, which is strange actually because you've not got a beard.
No.
I thought that was a prerequisite for machine learning.
Well, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that you have to have a beard and you have to be like a boffin, a scientist and some sort of data geek in order to understand machine learning and get to grips with it. But it's actually what we're here to talk about is machine learning is really accessible for any web developer.
Right.
You can sort of, anybody that writes code can take advantage of the machine learning stuff we've got. Machine learning is for muggles too.
I don't understand the reference.
Muggle. A muggle. You don't know what a muggle is?
No.
You've seen Harry Potter?
I've not really seen Harry Potter, no.
No?
Is that wrong?
Yeah, it kind of is wrong. Yeah.
I have seen Harry Potter 1 because I was at in my old university, this vendor machine which used to do DVDs.
The DVD vending machine.
Precisely.
Okay.
So this is back in 2000-ish
right.
sort of time.
Pre-Netflix.
Pre-Netflix, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And so you would go in there and you'd put in your, the film number that you wanted. There was a lot of films there.
Yeah.
And then it would vend the film that you wanted.
Okay.
And so I put in a number because I wanted Zoolander. And I put in Zoolander.
Hold on, just one second.
Yeah. Could we let's go past the fact that I wanted Zoolander.
You were trying to buy Zoolander, DVD, from a vending machine when you're at university.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, that's fine.
I had a perfectly active social life.
Yeah. You do look a little bit like Zoolander, actually. But anyway.
Ben Stiller. Yeah. So I put in the number for Zoolander and Harry Potter came out.
Okay.
So I was like, it must be a mistake. So then I put the number in again and Harry Potter came out. And then I put in the number again and Harry Potter came out. So I had three copies of Harry Potter. Yeah. Wrote a letter to them like in complaint. They told me that if I'd just put the DVDs back, I wouldn't have been charged. But
well, you could have had Zoolander after all.
I could have had I couldn't.
That's
didn't.
On Netflix, so it's fine.
But anyway, so I did watch Harry Potter, the first thing, but I actually wanted to watch Zoolander.
Oh, okay. So you kind of, you watch Harry Potter in a slightly disappointed way.
Massively, but, yeah. Okay. So maybe that's why I've never really got onto the bandwagon of Harry Potter.
No.
But
for anybody that's like Martin that wanted to watch Zoolander and ended up with Harry Potter.
But so that's what a muggle?
A muggle is a person without magic.
Oh, okay.
So you've got the magic people and you've got the muggles. And muggles are like normal human people. And wizards are the magic people, basically.
So muggles.
I'm sure there's more to it.
So we can make this reference. Machine learning
is for muggles too.
It's for muggles too.
You don't have to be magic.
Okay. Now we've explained it. I'm probably the only one on the planet which doesn't get Harry Potter references.
Yeah. But. So hopefully, that last 5 minutes will be just for you.
Brilliant.
So machine learning. So there's kind of we've got some. So machine learning, just in general, it's a technology. It's a way of identifying patterns in data.
Yep.
So if you've got a huge amount of data, and we all have lots of data now, IoT, we're generating more and more data all the time. We've got these things on our wrists. We've got things in cities.
Or Casio F91W.
No, that doesn't do big data.
No, it doesn't generally.
You're revealing so much about yourself. But if you've got anything you've got big data, any sort of data, machine learning is basically a way of identifying patterns in that data and then making those patterns available to check new data against.
Right, okay.
So a classic example is like fraud detection. So if you've got a load of credit card transactions and you say which ones are the fraudulent ones, machine learning can take that, learn the patterns of what makes a fraudulent credit card transaction, and then when you get a new one coming in, you can say, what's the likelihood of this being fraudulent? And then the machine learning algorithms will figure that out against what's called a model.
Yeah.
And it'll give you a likelihood back, like a percentage score back of how likely that is to be a fraudulent transaction.
So I used to work in e-commerce before I joined Microsoft. And our company used to use machine learning. We used to pay someone an awful lot of money to do our models and things for us.
Yeah.
For stock, it was just like figuring out how our stock would change over seasonality and stuff like that.
So you see things like the customers that bought this. That's all machine learning, all that stuff. Most big websites are using machine learning one way or another these days. But so machine learning is this kind of, that's the process. And I've actually got a little diagram that I want to show here just to talk through the kind of underlying process of machine learning. So you'll start with a set of data. And also a question. So this idea of what am I trying to find out? So if it's credit card transactions, you're trying to find out which ones are fraudulent or not.
Yep.
So you take the data, you apply pre-processing. So you try and cleanse the data, make it clean, remove duplicates, that kind of thing. And there's a role for a person called a data scientist that does all of this stuff.
Sounds like a good job.
It is a good job. It's a good job at the moment. Yeah, it's a very well-paid job at the moment, I think. And the data scientists will take this stuff, they'll prepare the data. And then once they've got a data set that they're happy with, they will then apply these machine learning algorithms to it. And there's kind of a set of very well-known, very well-documented machine learning algorithms that can be applied to the data. They'll choose the best one. They might choose multiple algorithms to come up with what's called a model.
Yep.
Once you've got the model, that can be deployed to something like Azure Machine Learning, and applications can call to that model and present you data using a REST API.
Okay.
So that's great. So we have some stuff in Azure around this. So we've got a thing called the Machine Learning Studio, which is the interface you use to do all of this stuff. And Azure also provides these data pre-processing modules, so modules that help you cleanse the data, make it ready to use, that kind of stuff. It provides a load of machine learning algorithms that you can use, and it also provides an API, a REST API that you can use as well. So it's kind of taking the machine learning process and kind of putting it in a box in the cloud ready for you to just use.
Right, okay.
But the problem with this stuff is it's kind of, even with all the tools we've got in Azure, it's still quite technical and quite kind of boffin-like, and you still need to understand about these algorithms and all that kind of stuff. So we've actually got a set of services called Project Oxford.
Right, okay.
And what Project Oxford is it's kind of a set of APIs where somebody at Microsoft has already done all of this work, yep, and has just made the API. And you can just, as a developer, you can just call into the API and get the results back for the thing that you want to do.
Do you know why it's called Project Oxford? Because I think it came out of Cambridge.
Yeah, it's weird. Maybe it's like
Let's go to Oxford anyway.
Yeah,
we can do that. There we are. So we're now
excellent
in Oxford.
Excellent. It's good to know. Yeah, we like to be topical. We like to be in the right place.
Your bike there.
Yeah, I rode on that bike to get here this morning.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I've got no idea why it's called Project Oxford, to be honest.
Right. If you do know the answer to that, then do write in. Put in the comments.
Yeah.
If we've got a postal address.
Yeah. if you're on the team that like built this stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe you can tweet us or something.
It's Oxford,
and not Cambridge. But anyway, so Project Oxford. So what that is, I'm just going to go to the internet here and just have a look for Project Oxford. And it has a nice little web page, projectoxford.ai. And we've got a set of APIs here. We've got computer vision, face APIs, emotion APIs. And these are just APIs that all of the machine learning stuff has been done for you already.
Right.
The API is ready to use. You can just upload data to it and get data back. So we'll just have a quick look at some of these. So all of them quite nicely have these kind of demo pages where you can kind of try the APIs out and understand how they work.
Right.
So this particular one is the emotion API. And what this does is you upload a picture of somebody's face.
Yep.
And it'll tell you the emotions that are on that picture.
Those guys look ecstatic.
It's almost like that's like a planted picture. It's not a real life picture, but I do have a real life picture that we're going to use here. So, yeah, I've got a daughter called Madison, and this is Madison.
Aww.
Yeah, she looks so cute. She's not as cute as she looks.
Right.
She's got a devious streak to her, let me tell you. As a father, I'm there thinking, well, what's she thinking? She's 3 years old. What's going through her mind in this photo? It's a bit like a Mona Lisa photo. You can't really tell. Is she happy? Is she sad? Is she annoyed? Who knows? So thankfully, I can find out.
There's quite a lot of latency in this technique of understanding your daughter, though, isn't
there? There is.
Anyway, but leave that aside.
Some people would say that I should just, as a parent, that's one of the core things I should be able to do. But I like to use machine learning to help me out with these things. So I'm going to take a look at, I'm going to upload that picture to this website. These websites are just demonstrations of how the stuff works, really. So I'm going to upload it. It's going to analyze her face and look at her emotions on the face. And we can see there the result sets, if I just zoom in on that. We can see the overriding emotion really there is contempt.
Oh, right, okay. To be used in a demo.
Yeah, 46% contempt. There's definitely some anger in there, and there's definitely some disgust as well. But
right.
Generally, it's contempt. And the reason for that, if we just zoom back in there, just before I took that, you can see she's eaten something. I said, no, Maddie, you can't have any more chocolate.
Oh, right, so it's quite accurate.
Yeah, that's a look a three-year-old has, who's got no respect for her father, when her father tells her she can't have any more chocolate. It's contempt, disgust, and anger.
We've learned a lot about your parenting
So that's the emotion API. So that's quite a nice one to just kind of play around with, and you can see it tells you about like the shape of the face and all. You get a score basically.
That one's really that face rectangle. There used to be an API by a company called Face.com, I think. I can't really remember very much about it.
Yeah.
But I definitely used to use it.
Right.
For this exact reason, to just pick out faces in pictures, because that's quite a useful thing to be able to do, to be able to frame photographs.
Yeah.
When people upload them to find the people and the subjects.
Absolutely. So there's also a face API as one of the other Project Oxford ones, which does you know, that
gives you more details about the face.
Yeah. Well, what we're going to do now is, because what we've done, as well as building the APIs themselves, we've built some just sample websites, like kind of silly websites that, that use this stuff. And one of the ones is a website called mymoustache.net.
Was this John, John Galloway?
John Galloway was involved in this, yeah, and a few other folks. So this one is great for if you've got a friend who's got a moustache and they're very proud of their moustache.
Right.
You can tell them exactly how good their moustache is.
We don't.
We're moustacheless.
I always look like I've got a moustache after, like, maybe if I leave it for a day and a half, people think I've got a moustache.
Yeah, and there are photos of you on the internet.
Yeah, but like that was I had a moustache for like a month,
yeah,
3 years ago, yeah, and still that they people get disappointed when I turn up and I've not got a moustache, but. Yeah, anyway.
Well, we've got a friend, a guy called Deep.
We have,
One of our buddies, yeah. This is Deep. And he's very proud of his moustache. Like, he thinks...
I've seen him, he's got his moustache waxed.
He waxes it, he curls it around.
Yeah, serious.
So, yeah, I'm not sure it's that great.
I don't know, it's better than ever I've ever done. But
again, luckily, machine learning is here to rescue us.
Brilliant. So let's we don't have to make this decision ourselves.
We don't have to, no. We can upload Deep's photo there. It's going to analyse.
That's the best picture of Deep, by the way. Just like
he took this especially for me. I said, Deep, I need a photo of you with your moustache. So that has been classified as superstache.
Superstache?
Yeah. Now, he is... It's longer than 76% of other moustache wearers that use this website. But it's not the ultimate mo, okay? Like, if you want to see the ultimate mo, then you need this guy here. Let's just upload this other guy. This guy has got a legendary moustache. Now, I don't know who this guy is. I found him on the internet. But he's got the ultimate mo, and he's in the top 90% of the moustache wearers.
Yeah, that is some serious
moustache. So machine learning is really like changing people's lives here. we've got another website that I think is pretty cool. So a lot of people have said that I look a little bit like Jake Gyllenhaal. Now, I'll take that.
This is a little bit like last week when I said I look like Justin Bieber. No.
Yeah. Well,
there's a more resemblance between you and Jake than me and Justin.
Again, we don't need to. Machine learning can tell us.
Let's see.
So we've got a website called Twins or Not. And what this does is you upload two photos and it'll tell you how similar the people are. So let's add a picture of me first. I'm just going to upload a picture of me, Twins Martin. Picture of me holding my son, so I'm just going
to
say...
Sorry, I'm not switched over to your screen. I have now.
Okay, so I've uploaded a picture of myself. I'm going to say that's the one I want to use. And now let's upload a picture of Jake. Now, we're about the same age, me and Jake, and C. And it'll tell us how similar we are, whether we're twins or not, as is the title of the website.
So I guess it's doing some kind of basic, looking at the differences in the face and so forth, and then making some kind of algorithm based upon...
Yeah, it's using the face API. We are twins, apparently. According to machine learning, we're a perfect match.
100%.
Yeah. And you can take any photos of me and Jake Gyllenhaal, and you'll get, like, it being above 85%.
You're really proud of this.
I am. I'll take it. I'll take that. You know, Jake Gyllenhaal's a good-looking man. Like,
No doubt.
Yeah. Good. But it's not all good news.
Oh, why not?
Because we've got another website called howold.net, right? And what this one does is you can use a photo of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And oops, I'm gonna use one of my photos, and it will basically analyze how old you look. Now I'm 36 years old.
Yep.
Now according to machine learning, I'm 42 years old.
That's not good, is it?
Which is a bit that brings me down a peg. Yeah. After having been twins with Jake.
Yeah. You know, now you're 42. Like, yeah, now you've been aged.
But you know, it doesn't stop there.
Oh right.
Yeah. Me and Jake are about the same age. He's a little bit young, a few months younger than me. So let's just see how old he is,
right,
according to machine learning. I'll upload a picture of Jake there. He's 43.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
I'm back feeling good again. You know, it's all good. So it's just a nice little set of websites where you can just play about. And some of these have got for charity and stuff as well. And they're all based on machine learning. They're all based on these exact same APIs that are available for anybody to use. And most of them have... They're generally free up to a certain level of transactions per month, that kind of thing.
Okay, so if you wanted to actually use some of these, the Face API, for example, you could do that, but you'd reach a certain point where you need to start paying for
Some of them will. Some of them, I think, are just free. Some of them you have to pay for from the word go. But like, have a look at which ones. Okay. There's another set of APIs called the Cortana Analytics APIs, which are very much a similar kind of thing. They're just two different brands. They have things like sentiment analysis, that kind of stuff. But you can go and have a look and just try and find out, basically. So that's the API. So we've kind of looked at kind of some silly examples and things. Mm. I thought it'd be quite good to actually try and write some code, because it is web app.
Yeah.
So we haven't really, always done really, it's looked at some photos.
Just been using some websites.
Yeah.
So let's go into machine.
Okay.
Start doing something.
So we've got Visual Studio. I've pre-created an ASP.NET Core application here.
Right.
Just using the standard web application template. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to use the text analytics API as part of this to do some text, some sentiment analysis. So this one is if I just do another search for Azure text analytics, there it is there. So this one is part of the Cortana analytics suite. And you can see that if I just sign into it, I've already got a subscription, so I can have 10,000 transactions a month for free on yep. this. So basically, the idea is you kind of get a key just like you do with most APIs, and you use that key in your code to start writing some code. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just, because I'm really lazy, I'm just going to overwrite the about action. Yeah, you're the standard sort of, in this stuff, you always have an about action that's kind of like just yep. a placeholder. So I'm just literally going to override that. I'm just going to copy some code in here, and I'll talk through.
You're using your Snippets Manager, your favorite
Snippets Manager.
Actually, you've upgraded.
I'm on Visual Studio Code now.
But so you, Martin's favorite Snippet Manager is Notepad, for God knows whatever reason, because there is perfectly good Snippet Managers inside of Visual Studio. Yeah. But now you're using another product, Visual Studio Code.
That isn't the Snippet Manager.
Which isn't the Snippet Manager, it's Snippet Manager.
I know, it's bad. Yeah. It's really, I'll fix that.
We'd sit down for a day and really just do your snippets properly.
So let me just talk through this. So I've copied this in. So first thing I've done here is I've made this an asynchronous task because I'm going to call into an API, and that's async's good. I always say if you see async, just tick it or just use it. Like, don't worry about it. Just do it. You know, it's going to be fine.
Yeah, because what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, exactly.
If it's async, tick it.
Yeah,
that's Martin approved.
Yeah,
it's TM, patent pending.
It'll be absolutely fine. So I'm going to do that other thing as well of just quickly showing my API key and then hiding it again in case anybody copies it.
As if pause buttons were never embedded.
So basically what we've got, we set up the service URL, we set up the account key, which is what I get from the Azure portal now. I'm setting up a HTTP client. So being .NET Core, that's not going to work straight away. I need to actually install the package to make that work.
Yeah.
So this is something that you'll become familiar with when you're working with .NET Core is that stuff that used to just be there isn't there anymore. Yep. You have to download the
package. Modular now.
It's modular, yeah, it's all good.
You have to get it from NuGet.
We do. But Visual Studio makes that pretty easy for us. So anyway, so we've got a HTTP client. We're going to basically set up the base address. We can set up the credentials. We're going to convert those to a base64 string. I just need to resolve some of these using statements as well. Oops, I don't know why it keeps doing that. I'll resolve that one as well using our nice little light bulb icon, which is quite difficult to click on. I don't know why, I find that quite tricky to click on.
She's a keyboard control.
I know, it's too complicated. so I'm saying I want it as JSON. So this is just very, very simple, standard.
You're basically making a HTTP request and you're posting to a URL.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if I'm doing this in C# and .NET right here. It could be any language you can do this stuff. There's a way to do this stuff.
It's just a REST API.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm doing the I'm doing the call, getting the response. That's going to be a JSON document. Now I've got this one, this J object here, which is, going to use Newtonsoft JSON.NET. So again, I need to download the package for that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to parse that. And all I'm going to do is just display the view data message with the input and the score, basically. So it's very lazy. It's not going to look great, but it will get the point across.
OK.
So and what I've also done as well is I've got this kind of default input text so that if you don't pass any input text in, it's just going to use that one.
Yep.
So let's just run this and see this in action. So basically, it'll run up. I need to go to the About page, and it'll just do a scan immediately for that text. So just click on About. And there we go. So that's the test. And that score is 76%. So that's a 76% positive sentiment in that text.
Oh, right. So it's that piece of text. You sent to machine learning.
Yeah.
It's come back, you've got a score, and you've just basically dumped it onto the screen.
Basically.
Okay, cool.
And then I've got, if I just do kind of input, have you got some text that you'd like to analyze? What about Harry Potter?
I don't know anything about Harry Potter.
Well, could say like...
We've discussed this already, I don't know anything about Harry Potter.
Well, but you could...
I don't know, what about the text? I don't really know anything about Harry Potter.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, plot! I've
done something wrong there. That's fine. I don't really know anything about Harry Potter. So let's see how positive it is. That's not a very positive statement, Martin. That's quite.
Yeah, it probably is a little bit negative, isn't it?
Yeah. What about if you said something like, "I'd love to know."
Okay.
I would love to know anything about Harry Potter. and that one's 82%.
Oh, right, okay. So it's like, okay, figures out sentiment based upon
exactly
the text input that you put in there.
So it's a really silly example. But
so most of the machine learning APIs, they're similar in...
They're all like that.
Like
they're
a REST API you call,
exactly, yeah.
And you get a JSON response.
Yeah, exactly. So REST APIs, some of them you obviously have to upload images and other things, the inputs are different, but they're all REST. You can use any language, any platform, any technology to call them. And you can really, the point really is that you can add kind of some really quite advanced smarts, you know, things like recommendation engines, face detection, motion detection, speech conversion, text analytics, that kind of stuff, to your app without really doing a lot at all.
And do you know what else I love? Is that John Galloway and his team, when they were demoing the same thing, have come up with this beautiful moustache kind of page, which is really well done.
It's really, really good. Well, it's really slick.
Showing the professionalism that they give to their evangelism
and
jobs.
We've done this. But that's how we roll, right?
It's really good. Yeah. Yeah, I'm really happy with this, the way that you've hacked the about page for...
I didn't even bother making a view or anything.
No.
I just,
it's good. It's really strong.
But yeah, why write more code than you need to, you know?
Excellent. And that's it. That's the Web Hack Wednesday introduction to machine learning. And we've learned today that machine learning is for...
Muggles too.
Join us next week. Thank you very much.